Armstrong.
Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the piper, Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. What's that you're saying? Oh, I have a sound effects story for the fellows and girls. About Wheaties? Okay, then. Here we go. You hear that alarm clock? It's waking up Slowpoke Sam, the laziest fellow in the neighborhood. And Sam doesn't feel much like getting up either. No. Sam would rather stay in bed and sleep. Because if he gets up, he'll have to eat breakfast. You see, our friend Sam knows one thing as sure as shooting. No matter how hard she tries, his mother never seems to fix a breakfast that he likes to eat. Well, Sam is finally getting dressed and he's coming downstairs. He pulls out a chair and he sits down to the breakfast table. But look, it's not the same old breakfast at all. Here's a new and exciting breakfast dish that makes Sam want to grab a spoon and wade right in. You guessed it. It's Wheaties. Big, crunchy, golden brown flakes of real whole wheat. And boy, oh boy, what a grand and glorious flavor those Wheaties deliver. A flavor that makes a smash hit with Sam. Well, sir, you can call Sam a slowpoke now. The minute that alarm clock rings, he's up and racing downstairs to get his Wheaties. Sam likes them fixed in a big bowl with lots of milk or cream and sliced bananas or some other fruit. He calls that dish a real breakfast of champions. And so will you, I know, when you get yourself some Wheaties. I'm telling you, those Wheaties flakes are good. So downright good, you'll probably want second helpings every morning. Now, be sure to ask for the big orange and blue package with the two famous General Mills trademarks, Wheaties and Breakfast of Champions. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Jack and Billy are rowing their hearts out. Getting the last of the supplies aboard the two-masted schooner Spindrift. The Spindrift rides her mooring like a gray ghost of the San Francisco pier from the view I lies on. The schooner is all ready to start on her ferry to the Sulapines to recover a precious cargo of uranium sunk off an uncharted reef. Jack and Billy, as they bend to the oars, know that other persons are trying desperately to get possession of a mysterious ring which Uncle Jim had just received. A ring which may contain the secret of the uranium. Betty, alone on the schooner in the fog, is having the fright of her life. But Jack doesn't know it yet. Listen.
That's Betty, but the fog is thick. Well, you could cut it with a knife.
I'll say, Jack.
I bet we've rode 100 miles just taking supplies out to the Spindrift.
No, we have. Uncle Jim must be taking on enough stuff to take us to the Sulu Sea and back without stopping.
Never saw so much hardtack in all my life. And as for canned food, say, is there anything they don't put in cans these days?
And rope, Jack. Why, I bet you we have enough rope to stretch from here to the moon.
Don't forget the two most important items.
Oh, what are they?
Professor Loring's scrap of chart and the ring.
Well, I agree that we need that chart, Jack, if we're ever going to find his yacht. But doggone if I can figure out why that ring is so important.
Well, that gang thinks it's important enough to turn the town inside out to get it from us. Even before we start on the trip.
I know, Jack. There must be some secret to it that we haven't discovered yet.
Have you thought how terribly important this cruise of ours may be?
You mean...
I mean if we let that uranium fall into the hands of the wrong kind of people.
Yeah, I know, Jack. Maybe with that supply of uranium, they could split the atom and then invent engines that could take it without...
Billy,
When I think of this country of ours, with millions of homes stretching from sea to sea, with everybody working and pulling together to have a nation where people can be free and do big, fine things, why, it makes me realize what a terribly important job we've got ahead.
Yeah, this is sure one job we've got to make good on, even if we have to get the better of a dozen gangs.
The fog's lifting, Billy.
There's the Spindrift right ahead of us, like a ghost in the fog.
But she's a beauty of a ghost, Billy.
Say, do you still think that we're going to have room in the main hold to steal Uncle Jim's auto gyro?
He'll be awfully disappointed if we don't. He's flying it over soon.
Well, of course it hasn't any wings, and the windmill rotors come apart. But just the fuselage and motor takes up an awful lot.
Well, I figured we've left just enough room for it. And you can bet we'll need it. That Sulu Sea is a mighty big piece of dampness.
Well, we'll need it, all right. I guess a yacht sunk on an uncharted reef is harder to spot than a needle stand.
Yeah, but one of us can go up in the auto gyro and look over a lot of square miles. Watch this tide drift, Billy. It's sweeping us right up on the Spindrift.
I will, Jack. Hi, Betty. Throw us a line, will you?
Oh, Jack, Billy, I'm so glad you got here. Hey, here's the line. I thought you'd never come.
Why, what's the matter? Hey, Billy, move fast. Betty's all excited. Something's happened.
There you are. Beth, she is, Jack. Climb up. We'll store these supplies later.
What's happened, Betty?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether anything actually happened or not, but I thought I heard footsteps.
Footsteps?
I know it sounds silly now, but it didn't then. I mean, it didn't to me.
But Betty, you aren't angry.
Well, it was just about an hour ago. I was in that little cabin way up in front.
You mean the chain locker at the bar?
Yeah, the chain locker. I was storing the last supplies you brought aboard. The ones you said should go there. The sea anchor and those coils of rope and that sort of stuff. And suddenly I thought I heard a boat bump against the Spindrift.
A boat?
Just a small boat. I couldn't be sure. I thought it might be you and Jack. But I listened and I didn't hear you, so I went back to work. And then...
Yes?
Then, suddenly, I thought I heard footsteps on deck. Not natural footsteps. Not the way you sound when you're walking, but quiet footsteps. Just as though someone didn't want to be heard.
I bet you were scared. What did you do?
I just listened. At first, I thought I was mistaken. I wasn't scared, not then. I thought it might be you and Billy come back, or somebody from the dock to see about something. So I went on deck. And there wasn't anybody there.
And so I suppose you got really scared then.
Well, yes, I did. Because I just knew that someone had been on the boat. And I thought he might still be on hiding somewhere.
Oh, gosh, Betty, I'm afraid the fog and those spooky foghorns have been too much for you.
I don't know about that, Billy. Remember, there are two good reasons for someone wanting to sneak aboard.
That's right, Jack. I'd almost forgotten. There's the scrap of chart they'd be after and that ring. Gosh, they must know that we wouldn't leave anything as important as that on board with just Betty.
Of course, there are a lot of noises that could sound like footsteps to a person below. The waves, the creak of the rigging, the slap of the halyards against the masts.
But, Jack, if somebody did come aboard, they wouldn't cut their boat drift. Not unless they wanted to stow away and go to the Sulu Sea with us.
Oh, I know it all sounds silly. I know that no one would come aboard and let his skiff float away. And yet I know that someone was aboard. Maybe he still is aboard.
Strange things are happening to us, Betty, so perhaps you're right. Billy, suppose I take a look below while you and Betty unload the skiff.
Well, Jack, maybe I'd better come with you.
No, Billy. Spook hunting is a one-man job, and we've got to get that stuff aboard. As soon as the fog's all gone, Uncle Jim will fly in with the auto gyro and we'll shove off.
Okay, Jack. And if the spook is too much for you, sound off, and I'll come running with my special brand of spook powder. Hey, come on, Betty. Let's go.
All right, Billy. Be careful, Jack. Maybe I'm silly and all that, but if there is anyone on board, well, be careful.
If I really thought there was a chance, I'd go with him. But we gotta get the stuff stowed away, Betty. Uncle Jim's awfully anxious to catch this ebb tide.
Oh, Billy, what a lot of luck.
Yep. When we get back to Hudson High, we'll be so far ahead that they're gonna have to hold a special commencement for us.
Well, here's one of tomorrow's.
Yeah, don't forget that Uncle Jim is awfully interested in that white sultan of tomorrow's. The one that Professor Loring wrote about. Bet your life we'll find ourselves in his country before we're through.
Oh, I hope so. Oh, look, the fog's just about gone. Uncle Jim should be here soon.
Yes, so. Gee, Willikins, these boxes are sure heavy. There. Glad that's the last of them.
Oh, here comes Jack. Did you find anything, Jack?
No spooks, Betty. But you'd be surprised how many places there are where a stowaway could hide for a while.
And I'll bet you haven't looked at all of them either. I guess I know real footsteps when I hear them.
But, Betty, what good would it do anybody to stow away? He couldn't do anything against the four of us.
He could while we were asleep.
And sail the boat across the Pacific himself? He'd be some man. Hey, look, here comes Uncle Jim. Boy, we got those supplies unloaded just in time, Jack. Look, I never can get quite used to that autogyro.
Neither can I. With that windmill whirling above it, no wings, it looks like a bad dream.
But it's a mighty useful machine just the same, Betty. The propeller drives it forward while the rotors keep it up. And it can practically stand still in one spot and still stay up.
He's dropping.
Yeah, but gradually. See, he's coming down right by the ship. He's got pontoons on it.
Ship ahoy! Heave a line and I'll come alongside.
Okay, Uncle Jim. Stand by. Here you are. Good shot, Jack. Lend a hand, Billy, and we'll pull him in while he pulls up the rotor.
Oh, okay.
Got your topping lift all rigged?
Yep.
Fine. Swing out the gas and lift her aboard.
There it is. Point strike, Billy.
Yeah, man.
Let the hook gets onto that eye bolt in the fuselage. There. All set, Uncle Jim?
All set. All the way.
I'll help.
Swell. All together now.
Yo.
Yo.
Ho.
Yo.
Ho.
Yo.
Ho.
Yo.
Ho.
Easy yo, there.
Ho.
Good. Swing her in. Now lower easily.
Okay. Take it slow now. Just that's a little it, bit of time. Okay.
Atta boy. Wait till I get out.
Okay. Hold it, Jack. Now we'll put her below.
Right up. Swing her over the main hold. Lower her gently. And lash her for the ferry well. Betty.
Easy, Jack.
Why do you look so worried?
Oh, it's nothing, Uncle Jim. That is, Jack and Billy think it's nothing, but while they were gone, I thought I heard footsteps on the deck.
Footsteps? Are you sure?
Well, almost sure. But Jack went below and looked all around, and he didn't find anybody.
That was odd. Well, we won't let it last.
Uncle Jim, did you have time to stop at the research library to check up on the ring?
Yes, I did, Betty, but they couldn't help me. The ring was as much a mystery to them as it is to us.
Well, and there's nothing else to keep us from shoving off.
Not a thing, Betty. Shake out the starts and the sails, and when the autogyro's stowed, we'll hoist canvas and slip our moorings. Fatten down that hatch well, Jack. You may find a bit of a duster when we clear the Golden Gate.
All faster.
Good. Up mainsail, you and Billy. Right. Betty, run up the jib.
Yep.
We'll hoist the force later. Slip the mooring, Jack. Attaboy. Now watch her pick up.
Oh, well, she's heeling over.
She'll heel over more than this when she clears the gate.
Oh, I love it. Those sails, look how the wind fills them.
The wind's our friend now, Betty. But it may be our worst enemy before this voyage is through. Run down in the cabin like a good girl and get my sweater.
You bet, Uncle Jim. This breeze is chilly.
Gee, it's good to be under sail again. When do you want me to take my watch at the wheel, Uncle Jim?
I'll set the watches after we clear the Golden Gate, Jack. Hey, look at Betty popping up from the cabin. What's up, Betty?
Uncle Jim!
What's happened?
There is someone below!
Billy, take the wheel. Jack and I are going to find out what this is all about. Come on, Jack.
Well, what is this all about? Is someone really hidden away in Uncle Jim's cabin? If so, you can just bet he's not there for a free ride to the Sulu Sea. You suppose it has anything to do with that mysterious ring? After all, there's something mighty important about that ring that Jack and Uncle Jim haven't discovered yet. So listen in, all of you, at the same time next Monday to the mystery of this remarkable ring with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, while you're thinking about it, be sure to ask Mother to get you some Wheaties. Boy, those Wheaties flakes will taste mighty good for breakfast tomorrow and Sunday. You're all set to start the weekend in champion style if you'll ask for Wheaties now.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the brand.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye till Monday for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, breakfast of champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the Piper Hudson High, boys.